podcast like any others. Welcome to the HalfGutter.com Power Hour.
Get in the hole!
Welcome, Dan. It's Masters Week. I don't think we'll talk much Masters on here, but I will mention the Masters really quick. Well, first off, welcome to the show. I want to jump right into the Masters, actually. I kind of told you I was going to talk about it beforehand. I want to talk about this story. Did you see this real quick, Dan? Where Dustin Johnson, the leading golfer in the world, is missing the Masters because he fell down some steps.
That is a very golf injury, though.
Yes. Well, Dustin Johnson famously was suspended for cocaine. He tested positive for cocaine, so I wonder if maybe got pushed. Yeah, like a few years ago. I wonder if Johnson got pushed down the steps by a drug dealer. Maybe he owed some money to the wrong guy.
Or it's a classic baseball spring training injury where it's just like, you come up with an excuse, but the real answer is, I was intoxicated.
Yeah. Well, he said like he was in his socks. He was in his socks and he was at the house in Augusta that they rented and he slipped down the stairs and hurt his back. He tried to take a swing today for the opening round and just said he couldn't do it and withdrew.
What a shame. What an utter shame that guy, that very famous, well-known guy, who we all know and love.
He's one of the top guys in Roy McIlroy PGA Tour, so people forget that.
That's sad to me that Tiger Woods Golf no longer exists, and now it's Roy McIlroy.
You can't be a golfer and have questionable morals, Dan. That's something no golfers have.
That's what's always kept John Daly from having his own video game.
Mm-hmm. He has one in my heart, though. But Dan, let's move on. This is a story you're really interested in. This is kind of like your version of the Masters. Which is college realignment. Wichita State looks to be joining the American Athletic Conference. Does this really mean anything at all? What does this mean?
I think what it means is that the American Conference is in some I mean, we've always kind of known the American Conference is just like the waiting area of college athletics.
Yeah.
Like there's
the purgatory.
Yeah, there's nobody in that conference who wants to be there. Everybody would rather be like somewhere else. But
some would rather even be just not have a football program. They didn't have to at this point.
I mean, UConn's getting dangerously close to that point where it's just like, fuck football, man.
Yeah, this is stupid. We're not doing it. I'm sure there's I guess Memphis football is getting better.
Yeah, Memphis football's suddenly good. Like, Memphis is shooting for the ACC now. Like, and they think they can get there.
Well, it helped their basketball standings, I think, to get into a conference that matters again. I think that would help
their basketball's what's collapsed. Like, that's what they kind of... who'd have thought Memphis basketball would be dragging down Memphis football?
Who thought Memphis would be an NBA town 10 years ago? But there you go.
Yeah, that definitely happened. Like, we'll talk about that a little bit later, about young people versus older people, but that definitely has happened in Memphis.
But what is this? Does Wichita even have a football team? Tell me about Wichita. Where is Indiana? Iowa? San Diego? Is that a state? Hawaii? Where is Wichita State? Is that a state? Wichita?
Wichita is in the state of Kansas. I believe it's the largest city in the state of Kansas.
Not Kansas City? Would that be...
Well, the Kansas City is mostly in Missouri.
Missouri, I know.
It's okay. There's no good way of putting this. It's the Koch brothers' school. It's where they went to college.
Okay. So there's a lot of money, extra money flowing in.
Their basketball arena, Dan, is Koch Arena. Yes. So.
So in Kansas, where you probably have tons of people living in poverty, jobs leaving. You know, the economy's not so high. Lots of money from Kansas's favorite sons are pouring into a school that no one cares about. Is that fair to say? Oh, lost you.
Oh, okay. I'm ready. No. I don't know. The button got hit.
Let me start that over. So, like, a lot of money is pouring into Kansas, basically, or to Wichita State. So that's why you see this push to the American Athletic Conference. Right, Dan? Is that fair to say? There's a lot of outside money that's probably helping Wichita get a little more attention than maybe they deserve.
Yeah, the Koch brothers pouring a lot of money in. Part of their money has kept their basketball coach there, who's a tremendous coach who probably would have left by now.
Because Wichita State, I think most people, if you're listening, like, where have I heard of Wichita State? They had a run, was it about 3 years ago in the NCAA tournament?
Yes, they made a deep, deep run. They've managed to hold on to their coach, whereas, like, you know, Shaka Smart left VCU. Wilmington couldn't even keep their coach, like, a whole year. State, you know, gobbled him up.
Brad, even, you know, even Brad Stevens left Butler.
Yeah, Brad Stevens ended up with the Boston Celtics. Wichita State's been able to hold on to their coach because of the Koch brothers. Like,
yeah.
He, like, most of the time when you leave a mid-major, it's because of money. It's like, hey, this school can't pay me what some other school can on the open market. In his case, the Koch brothers have ponied up the money to keep it.
No, because for a decently successful coach, a mid-major can be a sweet gig if you're getting paid.
Yeah.
Because there's less media attention, there's less pressure. You kind of own the campus. You can get away with more.
Yeah.
You know, say if you went to an Indiana or something like that, where there's a lot more scrutiny on you.
And everything you do is going to be scrutinized by the fan base. Wichita State, the fans are, like, overjoyed to have him. And that's, you know, if you've got the pay of a bigger school, why not stay at the smaller school where they love you?
Yeah, it just makes more sense.
Stick to the rivers and the lakes that you're used to.
Yeah.
As the old song goes.
So Wichita State, but do they have a football team? We've talked about the basketball team. Is there a football team?
They do not have a football team, to my knowledge. If they do, they play at a very, very low level.
Okay, so there's no plans for Wichita State to be a football team.
The plan, and obviously a lot of this is like early talks, but it'll be like the basketball team, the baseball team. You know, it'll be the non-revenue sports, but the big thing is basketball.
Yeah.
Joining the American Conference. And part of that, I think, is to placate UConn, who have made it fairly clear how upset they are with the quality of basketball in the American Conference. Because
it's clearly hurt the UConn men's program, and maybe even the women's to an extent, who, you know, lost this weekend.
For the first time.
Because the people did say that UConn team, as good as it was probably a little less talented than the previous couple of years.
Yeah, and one of the issues for UConn is that they originally were in the Big East. UConn, when the Big East first formed in the 70s, UConn was nothing. That's a program that was basically exists as we know it today and was built because they were in this awesome conference and eventually got good.
One of those ESPN teams, if you will. UConn kind of rose in prominence as ESPN kind of did. That's fair to say.
Sure.
As they're featured more on TV, I'd argue UConn's one of the teams that's benefited most from ESPN, actually, in having that kind of coverage. So they're probably concerned with the quality of play dropping in the American Athletic Conference because they'll be on TV less, obviously.
And it's just they're a basketball-centric program. We talked about it on the show a few weeks ago. There's rumblings about them going back to the Big East and dropping their football down or going to independent at the FBS level.
Are potentially dropping football, period.
I don't think they drop football, period. They'd probably just go back to playing in the Patriot League.
Yeah. Like, I imagine if they went independent, that'd be the first step towards either, dropping big boy play or maybe...
They used to play in the Patriot League for football, which is where UMass was playing. Fordham plays there. I think they'd probably drop back to that, but... I mean, the UConn's foray into major football has been a disaster. They've even had good teams. They made a Fiesta Bowl, and the people in, like, their fan base does not give a shit. Like, they do not give a single solitary shit.
No, it's not an area that's traditionally, like, big or non, even pro football. I know the Patriots are probably very popular in Connecticut, but it's not an area where, it's not a football-rich area.
Yeah.
Not a lot of greats have come from Connecticut.
Massachusetts and Connecticut are the two states in America with the least amount of Division I-A football talent in the country.
And not a ton of high school talent, which, of course, is how you would build a dominant program in UConn.
So, what does Wichita State coming into the American Conference mean? Well, it means that one of the few things that the American Conference had an advantage over the Big East is that it at least had a more stable structure. Like, the Big East was always built over, there was always something unstable about the Big East because they had this weird Frankenstein structure where you had, like, eight schools that were basketball only, and you had eight schools that played football. Because they had so many non-football members, it hamstrung their ability to add schools for football because it's like, well, if we add football schools, that means our total number of schools for our other sports will be, like, 16 or 17. And that got very unwieldy. And by the end, when they finally, the two conferences split, the football schools went off on their own, and the Big East basketball went off on its own. The thing, all the American Conference teams that stayed, which was at that point, I believe, really just like UConn, Temple, and Cincinnati, and Central and South Florida. Like, the one thing those schools' athletic departments was saying was that, well, at least like everybody's going to be on the same level instead of this bizarre basketball only structure. The fact that they're going to then go back and start adding basketball only schools, I think, says a lot about how the American Conference model has failed.
No, and doesn't it also say a lot about that bubble we've talked about with college football, especially with the mid-major schools, looks to be ready to burst. And this is another step, I feel, of that bubble bursting. Would be maybe the Americans saying, we're going to take basketball more seriously than football now. We see more opportunity for growth and, you know, profit in basketball instead of football. And if I'm an American school, if I'm not Memphis, I probably have to agree.
Yeah, it's just, they're in a position where it's just very, very difficult to continue to keep up the illusion that you have a real shot at joining the Big 12 or another major conference. Like, the further down the road we get, like, the American Conference is all these schools with ambitions that are quickly becoming clear they're never going to reach.
Yeah.
Like, you're just not getting that. You are not getting into a major conference. The Big 12 took a look at all of you. Basically, the entire American Conference applied to the Big 12. From UConn all the way down to South Florida, every single one of them made an application. And the Big 12 looked at all of them and went, nah, none of you. Like, we don't want any of you.
Realistically, Rutgers only got in because of the insane idea that they're going to get the New York market for the Big 10.
Well, that's not, I think that's how they sold it.
Yeah.
Rutgers I will defend Rutgers joining the Big Ten. Rutgers is the South Carolina of the last round of conference realignment. They were a market that in the SEC's case, they didn't have South Carolina. They didn't have a school in that state. In the Big Ten's case, they didn't have a school in New Jersey. New Jersey has a lot of high school talent. We have already seen adding Rutgers has helped other Big Ten schools recruiting because New Jersey used to be a free-for-all state. It's one of the best states in the country for high school talent, and the talent used to go everywhere. Well, since Rutgers joined the Big Ten, all that New Jersey talent now goes to Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan.
No, and you see how this affected schools even in the SEC, Dan, because Mark Richt famously did pretty well in New Jersey. I mean, I know he definitely got no Sean Marino out of New Jersey, which really helped that team a lot. So he's a guy who could recruit New Jersey, and you've seen Georgia not really getting those Jersey guys anymore. I know they had a signing from Brooklyn, but that's a little bit.
It also hurt the University of North Carolina, who used to do a lot of New Jersey recruiting. It's hurt Virginia. It's hurt a lot of ACC schools that used to go up and pluck guys out of New Jersey.
Yeah, because Virginia used to be a school that, good year, maybe 8 wins. Now a good year, Virginia's, maybe 6?
Yeah, and Virginia's sort of completely redoing. Like, Virginia, for the last couple of years has tried to be like a recruiting power. They're completely blowing that up and now trying to win with hustle and grit and, all those other euphemisms white people use for having more white people on your team.
Yeah.
New Jersey talent becoming property of Big Ten has also hurt every Big 12 school, because every Big 12 school used to go up and pluck guys out of New Jersey, because it's like, hey, come play in a conference where we like football. Nobody up in the Northeast cares about football. You can come play here. And that's how Kansas State would get some players. That's how, back in the day when Nebraska was in the Big 12, half their team would come from New Jersey. Like, half their running backs would come from New Jersey.
And it's even though Texas could kind of line their team. Like, maybe you get a couple backups who are better. You pluck them from New Jersey. It's like, you can play for Texas.
Especially the non-Texas Austin, like the non-Longhorn schools. Like, schools like Texas Tech that, need
Texas Tech, even A&M to an extent.
A&M always could recruit well. I won't go there. But
just those little icings on the cake that make a recruiting class well. Like, when Bama might get a 3-star from a school, it may not start, but he's going to make the team much better. That's something that Texas and A&M could used to do. You could pluck a guy from Jersey pretty easy. Now it's a lot harder that Michigan, Ohio State, and these other programs with some cases bigger than yours.
But in a long-term situation, when you look at the Rutgers program, yeah, they're going to get the shit beat out of them for like the next 5 years. But eventually, some ambitious coach is going to look at Rutgers and go, they're the only school in their state. Their state has a ton of talent. They're in one of the biggest conferences in America. They're getting a bunch of TV money, which right now Rutgers isn't getting. Rutgers doesn't get the big TV check for another couple of seasons. But once Rutgers starts getting their full TV money, they're going to have all this money to hire coaches. They're going to have all this money for facilities. And there's only so many major jobs. And if I'm a coach down the road, maybe not right now because their administration's still fucked up, but if I'm forecasting 5 years from now, if I'm a head coach and I see Rutgers, where would I rather go coach? Rutgers or Illinois? I'm taking Rutgers every time. If you give me a choice between coaching at Rutgers and coaching at Kansas State, I'm taking Rutgers because I can get talent there. I can get players on my football team. And if I'm a good coach, I'm going to go where I know I can recruit. And eventually Rutgers is going to be there. So I think Rutgers is a long-term play for the Big Ten, and I think in 10 years we'll be able to judge that move. Yeah. Just the
so
same.
Dan, like I think
when yeah, but South Carolina is the obvious example because when South Carolina first got added to the SEC, everybody in your part of the world said, "Oh my God, why did we add this terrible team? They can't play. They talk about basketball. I don't give a shit about basketball. They lose to everybody, 49-10, and then." You know, Lou Holtz, Steve Spurrier show up, and they become good.
Yeah. I mean, you only needed two of the greatest coaches of the past, you know, 50 sure. years to get that. But, you know, but to wrap this up, what does this really mean for Wichita and the American Conference? I think you can look at this discussion and kind of say what it means. Nothing really.
It just means the American Conference is in trouble.
Yeah.
The American Conference will continue to be in trouble.
Yeah, this bubble's going to burst. I don't know how soon, but it's going to burst soon. It's going to be fun to watch.
Well, the moment that the bubble explodes is going to be when the NCAA, when major conference teams have to start paying the players.
Yeah.
Because then we have a lot of schools at the American Conference level where the schools are trying to have the same facilities and spend the same as a major conference program, and they don't really have the budgets to do it. They're barely being able to do it. And once they have to actually pay players, if you want to be in the big boy club, they're not going to be able to afford it, and they're either going to have to hit the Hail Mary and join a major conference, or they're going to have to drop down.
Yeah, hopefully one of your alumni becomes a billionaire and he really likes football.
Sure,
it's another weird thing that could play out. Yeah, because it is America, so you never know. All right, so we move on to kind of our semi-main event here, Dan. The NCAA tournament finals, and what was probably one of the most least enjoyed sports events of the year, maybe of the decade. A lot of complaining about this game on Twitter. I didn't catch much of the game, I'll be honest. I just wasn't too excited because I wanted to see Kentucky and UCLA and those fun teams. And instead, I have to watch Gonzaga and UNC with a bunch of players I'll never see again.
It was rough. I mean, there's no real way around it. It was one of the least enjoyable games. I believe UNC shot 18% and won the game, which is just like that can't even be true. Like that's one of those things where you hear a team shot, you know, that low a percentage and still won the game, and you go, well, something can't be like something's there's a lie in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Like,
well, there were a lot of bad foul calls, I believe. Well, maybe not bad foul calls, but just a lot of fouls committed. In this game, too, at one point. I believe I saw a lot of complaining on Twitter about fouls.
Yeah, I mean, the refs definitely, they were whistling a lot. I think part of that wasn't all like, ooh, the refs are trying to, you know, the refs are having like trying to think they're the center of attention. I think some of that is just the fact that Gonzaga is a slow-ass white boy team from the Pacific Northwest, and Carolina is super athletic. Yeah. Like Roy Williams builds his teams around athleticism. I think a lot of that is just like Gonzaga couldn't defend those dudes without fouling.
Yeah, they're gonna have to kind of almost play like a
grab,
kind of like the Pistons, you know, like a team that's gonna have to play rough to kind of make things work.
But you know, I think in some ways they kind of had to do that just to keep them in front of them. But still, I mean, it was not.
Yeah, from an entertainment standpoint, not something you necessarily want to see. Maybe it's fun.
It was not enjoyable.
Yeah. So
it was a really shitty game to watch, but a lot of people watched it, particularly people who can't eat solid food anymore, because did you see the median age of the average viewer?
I believe I heard it was like around mostly Trump voters. So would that be like 50 years old and white?
It was like 51.2 years old was the median age of NCAA finals watchers. Which, to bring things back full circle with our discussion and realignment, you brought up Memphis. And the Memphis Tigers used to be like a major college basketball program. But in 2017, if you go to the young, affluent people who have money to spend, disposable income to spend on going to sporting events in the city of Memphis, and you ask them what they want to go see, you ain't going to find one of them who wants to go see a Memphis Tiger game. They're all Grizzly fans.
Yeah.
They're all Grizzly fans. And I think we're just seeing this in general, this trend with college basketball. Nobody is watching this shit except the elderly and gambling freaks. And I think even by the time we're getting to the finals, the gamblers have gone home. Like, their brackets are already ruined. Like, the first couple of rounds do well because of the gamblers, and then by the time we get to the end, it's just old people.
Yeah, and the degenerate gamblers. Yeah, and the degenerates, because they're always going to gamble. But will we say this tournament overall is a success for the NCAA, though? Like, I had a fun March. I thought it was fun. I think March Madness is always kind of fun. There's always a good story in there, and like, I think it just kind of crapped out near the end. Because like, I think we talked about this last week, poorly booked. When you look at the seeding, like what Kentucky and UNC and UCLA had to go through, compared to what Oregon or Gonzaga did, was not very similar.
I just think a lot of it is just the chickens coming home to roost. Like, this is, they have not given enough of a shit about the quality of their games. They have not put enough focus on making sure the games are fun to watch. They've consistently ignored that. They've given deferential treatment to some coaches who don't want the game to change. The Tom Izzos of the world who want every game to be a fist fight. And they have not been willing to crack down on that physical play. And it's come back to haunt them that the game is unwatchable. I mean,
to compare this to the NBA, like the NBA had a similar problem in the early aughts, you know. And especially throughout the 90s, too. Not a very fun game to watch unless there was a major superstar playing. But by fixing some things, the NBA is now probably the most fun it's been to watch since, the mid-80s.
Yeah, 90s, yeah. Well, I think it's beyond. I think the NBA has never been as popular as it is right now and as fun to watch as it is right now. But, like, 90s basketball was completely unwatchable, but they had stars that was covering it up.
Yeah, so and you NBA had one particular star who, you know, carried
Michael Jordan was a bright shining star, but you also had, you know, Charles Barkley. You also had Patrick Ewing. You also had, you know, some really major stars that happened to also be in some major markets that people cared about and also
Timmy Hardaway, Shaquille O'Neal, even Iverson, you know, Philadelphia.
Sure. And that helped, like, I think that covered up and kept people, like, it was easy to put your head in the sand and pretend everything was okay.
Yeah.
In the 90s. And then once that generation of stars retired and it was just like, oh God, all the stars are gone and it's finally hitting us how unwatchable our sport is.
Yeah. I think when it was like that second Pistons Spurs finals and people were like this, we've got to fix this shit.
Like this is a lot like of money. This is, And when we lost to the Euros it wasn't the Olympics, it was a World Basketball Tournament.
World Basketball, FIBA, I think, was. In Australia we only won a bronze. Remember correctly.
There was
that's
one
the year
where
Vince Carter
teabagged. Where we fella. Definitely only, we didn't win gold, and that was one of the other big wake-up calls. It's like, oh man, the rest of the world is playing this fun, far more easily watchable, much more enjoyable brand of basketball. We're playing this awful sludge ball, and the rest of the world has passed us at our own sport. We gotta change.
Yeah, which the NBA can freely do, because I think they'll admit it first. They're an entertainment product, you know. But the NCAA can't really admit that they're first and foremost about entertainment because of, you know, they're swindling and not paying the players and everything. To be fair, the NBA can say, hey, we're here to make money. NCAA can't really – everybody knows what they're doing, but they can't outright make changes that reflect that kind of motto like the NBA can. And that's why I think we have an NBA right now that's super fun to watch, you know. And we're in a – it probably hasn't been an era where there's really such really no mystery about who's going to play in the finals this year. But people are still going to watch, and they'll probably be very highly rated.
Yeah, I agree.
Crazy what happens. It doesn't matter. It's not the intrigue. It's about entertaining people. Yeah. No one cares if it's the same teams every year if they're fun to watch.
Yeah, and crazy. Yeah, if the game is enjoyable, like that's 90% of the battle. Yeah. Like just be enjoyable. Like don't give people like utter crap on a plate and then go, hey, you love this, don't you? No, I don't. This is bad.
No, it kind of reminds me of watching that that Mississippi State UConn women's game where, like, you know, Mississippi State won because of a last second shot. And so many times in sports, when a streak like that's broken, it just kind of dies, you know, and nothing exciting happens. It just kind of goes out, you know, just exits the party quietly. To be blessed with a moment like that was really rare. Like, why I thought that women's game should be, like, you know, as important as it was, because you don't get an ending like that in sports a lot, where a team loses a 100-game win streak to a last-second shot. It's just it doesn't happen that often.
Yep, I mean that's what they write. I mean that's the way they write up the movies. Yeah. They do that for a reason, you know.
Yeah, it's more fun. It's not fun to watch a team get dominated, you know. Regardless of who, you know, it's even similar to say like the Super Bowl, Dan, with the Patriots and the Giants when the Patriots were undefeated. If that game doesn't end with, you know, David Tyree and a crazy catch, is it as fun? Is it as memorable if the Giants just blew him out 55-7?
No,
probably not.
Yeah, no. Nobody wanted to see that. We wanted to see them.
Yeah, or Boise blew out Oklahoma. Who would care about the Fiesta Bowl from whatever year?
Yeah,
If that's
the way it had gone, we would have all just gone, oh, I guess Oklahoma was actually shitty and we didn't know it.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't have been like, oh man, do you remember this huge upset? Because if you upset a quote unquote upset a team and it turns out they weren't that good, like it's not an upset anymore. It's just like, oh, that was a waste of time. Why didn't we know they were so shitty? You know.
Well, it's even, you know, even to go back to last year's NCAA finals, which is so memorable because of a last second shot. You know, and this year's will not be very memorable. But even if the game was really bad, if it had a fun ending, Dan, we'd probably still be a little more hyped up about how this tournament went. But it kind of ended with a dud, which happens a lot in sports.
Yeah. And it was a close dud. Like, it was a different kind of dud. Like, it was a close game. It just was not watchable.
No.
At all.
Yeah.
Like, it was but just...
You know what was watchable, Dan?
Hit me.
WrestleMania weekend, and I want to jump into this. We're not gonna go show by show, match by match, but I want to kind of talk about what we enjoyed from the weekend, because this was a long process. I think I watched 4 days of wrestling. It was nuts. And I do want to start with something you turned me on to. Was it Joey Janela's Spring Break? This was probably my favorite show of the weekend, to be fair. Not the best, but my favorite. And I think the highlight of that show is, of course, The Invisible Man.
Sure. Of course it was.
Yeah, can you walk us through what the Invisible Man was, Dan?
Well, like they had the Clusterfuck Battle Royal, which featured my favorite wrestler, Jervis Cottonbelly.
Yeah.
You know, a whole host of the luminaries of our great sport. And then
lots of misogyny.
Oh, sure.
Lots of misogyny.
Who was the woman in that match? There was a...
Vita Scott? I don't know.
Vita Scott. She was horrendous on a level I was kind of blown away by.
Yes.
I could not fathom.
Exploited in ways. She had a midget bite her ass at one point.
Sure.
There was one spot where men just
not
beat
just
her up.
Not just any midget, buddy. That was Dink the Clown.
Dink. Was that the original Dink?
Who knows?
Came in, bit a woman's ass,
and left.
Are
you going to doubt it? Yeah, he didn't even get pit. That fucker had to be the original Dink, because he wouldn't even do a job in a fucking battle royal.
Yeah, fucking Glacier did the job, but Dink wouldn't. But tell us about the Invisible Man. I've never seen anything like this before.
His music hit, and then there he was. Well, maybe he was. Who can tell? He's invisible.
Yeah.
And at one point, Who was it who took that badass soup? Oh, the guy who was trying to be like a white guy rave Sabu. He was a white guy with dreads. He took
the most amazing suplex. That guy kind of impressed me, I will say. I think the story was he drove down there without a booking and just see if he could get onto something to make his name.
Yeah.
So you got to love stories like that.
Well, he was indie guy good. Like, he did a bunch of flips. I was entertained by his flips.
But the Invisible Man, it had workers kind of reversing spots on themselves, taking the moves without another person guiding them through it, basically. As if an Invisible Man was suplexing them. And this was, I've never seen anything like this in wrestling before. I loved it. All right, Dan, so is there anything else you kind of enjoyed, mostly from, my, let's just say, from the Spring Break show?
Glacier facing off with All Ego Ethan Page. And then the Mortal Kombat! And Ethan Page, like, doing the Mortal Kombat gestures. Like, he was...
Yeah.
Like, he did the leg sweep and the jump. I mean, it was... Oh, God, that gave me a lot of joy. I really enjoyed that. And then Joey Janela's match with Marty Jannetty was...
I enjoyed Jannetty's drunk speech afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, he was rambling and confused. Like, everything about the show kind of confused him. And then everybody's favorite indie wrestler, Matt Riddle, versus Dan Severn, was, like, match of the century? Can we say that? Like,
yeah.
Like, the greatest match ever
wrestled?
Yeah, I
thought that was really fun.
I just enjoy watching, what was the term? It was big in 2008, like, new wrestling with a U. You
know, Grapple fuck?
Where it's, where we've moved beyond wrestling. We're going to do, like, worked MMA, and it's everybody's going to love it. But Joey Janela's Spring Break was a heck of a good show. I thought it was my favorite non WWE show of the weekend of the WrestleMania week. And,
let's just any other non WWE stuff that jumped out at you that you really enjoyed. I ran into something I've never seen before. Can't remember the name, but it was a thing that had like sandwiches fighting each other, and there was a
Kaiju
squid
Big
monster
Battle
at one point. Yes,
yeah.
I enjoyed that
Kaiju Big
very
Battle
much. That was something where you light up a doobie and you just watch it and you just laugh your ass off because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I enjoy whenever wrestling gets weird because you got enough normal wrestling in the world, right?
Yeah.
You know.
Sometimes
like
it's fun
have,
just to do, yeah.
We're going to have some big New Japan stuff in a week or so here. I think Shibata's wrestling Okada. That's going to be great and it's going to be normal. Let's get some fucking weird shit in here. Let's get the weird shit, you know, before we get to the normal shit.
And then highlights, like, I enjoyed the Hall of Fame. I don't think you did as much, Dan, as I did.
I thought.
Yeah, it wasn't, like, the best ever, but I had fun. It was whatever. Wrestlers
Cornette
are good at talking.
Cornette shit the bed. And they all talk too long. Like, I think the reason why Kurt Angle was the star of the night is because he went 15 minutes and went home and then poured milk on himself.
I didn't get out. But Rick Rude's son also kind of stole the show for me. That guy needs to be wrestling.
God,
how's that guy?
Everybody...
Well, I know why. Because his dad died.
His dad's dick fell off. That's a legendary sleazy story.
No, and I also enjoyed, I actually enjoyed the Eric Garland speech. It was kind of cool to see a guy like
Eric,
who's
it
kind
wasn't
of a wrestling
Eric
fan.
Garland. Buddy, it wasn't Eric Garland. Guys, I got some game theory. That's why I'm here in the WWE. They're the only people who know the menace that is Russia. I gotta stop
Eric LaGrange. Eric LaGrange.
It's LaGrande, didn't it?
LaGrange, whatever. The paralyzed guy. I really enjoyed his speech. It was kind of nice to see someone get that award who, like, was a pretty big fan at one point. Even if he was just kind of a casual fan. When he started talking about, I think, Stone Cold during the invasion, I just got a big smile on my face. That was just fun. You could tell he was having a lot of fun talking about wrestling with people.
What I did like about him is that they got somebody who's a non-wrestler to be inducted who the fans wouldn't boo. Like, we can't boo this
and,
guy.
And, like, I noticed it felt like there was some heckling at times, but then I realized it was coming from his teammates who were in the crowd. So I'll be okay with that, with a bunch of rowdy drots just yelling stuff at their friends. But, that was one of the highlights of the weekend for me. I will say it kind of touched me. It showed a lot of strength. He was a football player who got paralyzed playing at Rutgers and I think wasn't expected to live And now can, like, kind of move his hands a little bit and all that fun stuff. So, a lot of strength.
And he will walk again.
Young man.
He will walk again, according to him.
Yeah.
And I hope so.
I'd like to see it. But yeah, I enjoyed that. Then there was NXT. I caught it last week, Dan. That triple threat tag match kind of stole the weekend for WWE stuff.
You have never been more right about anything than you were about that being the best match. That match was amazing. That's one of my favorite tag matches I've ever seen. I'm putting it down in the annals of one of the best matches I've ever. I don't want to go too crazy, I guess, but I kind of already am. That's one of my favorite matches I've ever seen. I've never just jumped up and down for a match quite like that one in a while.
No, it was a very like unique way of doing a match too, with like the two enemies having to work together to stop the big. Maybe that is something I'm seeing a lot, but
well, that's also one of my favorite.
I guess I've never seen it that way.
That's probably my favorite wrestling trope, is when old enemies have to work together against a new. Like, there's some new evil that they have to fight, and so they work together despite their reservations. I love that shit.
Yeah. So that was fun. And then anything else from NXT that kind of jumped out, actually, besides Bobby Roode's awesome entrance? Because it is awesome.
Yeah, Bobby Roode continues to have bad... not bad. Bobby Roode is Mr. 3-star. He will give you no more and no less. You will always get 3 stars. And Nakamura seems ready to leave. And
I didn't pay much attention
Tuesday.
At the very end.
Yeah.
And then we moved on to WrestleMania, the best 8 hours I've ever spent in my life. Consecutive 8 hours. I really enjoyed the show. I'm not sure I'll ever watch it again, but it was fun. And you know, for a once lifetime thing.
I definitely enjoyed the undercard of WrestleMania. I definitely enjoyed the undercard. Once the main event matches started, got a little dicey.
But, also, I really enjoyed the stage. This might have been their best stage and presentation ever for WrestleMania.
The stage was pretty amazing. Like, the stage was the entire length of a football field.
Yeah.
Which,
The ramp, even the poles had, you know, video screens on them. I can't imagine the amount of work that went in. That was, like, really impressive from a technical standpoint. To see what they did there.
Yeah,
and you can't beat pyro outside.
And I did enjoy the workaround they did for the Undertaker so he wouldn't have to walk that whole dang ramp. They gave him a little trapdoor, elevator thing, so he didn't have to walk the whole way, which was very helpful because, good God, if he'd had to walk all that, oh God. That match wouldn't have started yet. Like, he would have had to move so slow. They would have been starting it today.
Yeah. And then, obviously, you have the Hardy Boys. I think that's probably the biggest story. Even though it's the Undertaker retired, I think the biggest story, though, is the Hardy Boys return. No one saw it coming, and it got a lot of buzz.
Yeah, I mean...
You know, even I got some texts from some friends.
When you talk about what people
like,
remember about...
The Hardy
about
Boys are back.
Yeah, when you talk about what people are going to remember about that show, the two things they're going to remember... The Undertaker's last match and the Hardy Boys return. Those were the big two, and the Bella, the Nikki Bella, John Cena. Like, that's what everybody's gonna remember. Those three moments. I think a certain kind of fan is gonna remember each moment too, because a certain kind of fan, like the Hardy thing was the biggest deal in the world. For people who are old enough, like the Undertaker thing was going to be the
overall,
biggest thing. Cause it's like, oh man,
fun weekend. You can't really beat WrestleMania weekend, and I'm kind of eyeing maybe going to New Orleans next year, taking a look at it.
Yeah, so it just looks like a fun time. I wouldn't mind. Yeah,
I've never been to New Orleans.
My thing about WrestleMania is I don't know if I'd ever actually want to go to it because it's a big arena, it's a big stadium show, and I doubt I'd be able to see anything, and I'd just assume see it on TV. But, like, I could see myself doing the Dave Meltzer move, where you go down, watch all the other shows, and then leave before WrestleMania, come home and watch that on TV. Like, I could see myself doing that.
Okay, so, Dan, I'm even probably kind of eyeing going to New Orleans next year. I've been to two WrestleManias, both in stadiums. I had a lot of fun, and one wasn't even that good. So,
Yeah,
I recommend it.
Personally, I can't imagine I'd enjoy seeing a WrestleMania in a stadium like that. Because it's just like, I ain't
going
to see anything.
It's the atmosphere, Dan. It's the same thing as, like, for me, as going to, like, a Sanford Stadium. you know, with 80,000 fans, the energy is just amazing. It's hard to describe the feeling you get being around that many people who are that excited for something.
Yeah, it's a lot there's of something to that. But I think I'd be more likely to pull the Dave Meltzer where you go down, watch the indie shit and watch NXT and then go home and watch WrestleMania. You know, beat everybody on Sunday.
I recommend the rest. Never will you be around that many people who are just as big of a nerd as you. It's kind of amazing.
Hey, you could always go to Comic-Con. That's got like at least 100,000 people.
I don't know. There, I think wrestling geeks are below Comic-Con people now. Comic-Con's for like sexy people. You don't see a lot of you know, you and me, Dan, we're probably like a 5 at Comic-Con. At WrestleMania, we're a 7. A hard 7, maybe an 8. So,
sure. Yeah, we can have a conversation. Like, if push comes to shove, we can have a conversation about something other than professional wrestling. It's possible.
Yeah. Yes. So I'd recommend, I'm kind of eyeing it for next year. Like, so I've never been to New Orleans. I think it'd be a blast to go to New Orleans. I think it's a city kind of built for events like that. So it'd be not going to be really an issue with a lot of travel. And
I mean, there's a reason why New Orleans has had the Super Bowl, you know, 10 billion times.
Yeah, because they nailed that kind of stuff very well. I'm also kind of waiting to see if they'll just put it in Atlanta the year after next. Got to figure it's coming with the Super Bowl.
Atlanta's definitely getting a Super Bowl. Like, there's no question.
Yeah, well, we're getting the Super Bowl. I figure we'll get a WrestleMania soon.
Oh, you're definitely getting a WrestleMania. That's what I meant to say. I said Super Bowl. But you're definitely, like, because WWE always goes, like, they tend to go after the Super Bowl. Like,
yeah, once so they
the
can
Super
break
Bowl
their attendance record.
Yeah, so they can claim they got more people.
Their goal usually is to break the attendance record or lie about it. Depends if you care about that kind of stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, this year was the most egregious. This year, the lie was so insane that it makes you question. Like, okay, guys. Like, I know
if you're like me, you just shrug your shoulders and you don't care. It's just, yeah.
But it's like,
next thing I'm gonna have someone yelling at me that LeBron's really 6'7". It's like, yeah, no, it's okay. Like,
but I mean, they claimed they sold more seats than they did. They claimed they sold more tickets than the year they went there, where the stadium was like had an extra like 10,000 seats.
Well, they had to. It's gonna look bad if they don't. It's just how they are.
But that's crazy.
If you get mad about Vince McMahon lying about numbers,
I don't get mad at it.
I hate to introduce
you
to the real world.
Here's who I get mad at. I get mad at TV stations that repeat it. Because it's like, okay, you can't be this stupid. Like, you can't. There's just no way.
Well, Dan, you forget that we live in a country where they kind of bought the Iraq War, hook, line, and sinker. So if they're going to buy that, they're probably going to buy bogus figures for an event they don't really care about.
Sure, but it's just like, come the fuck on.
I think you're expecting too much from
people.
America's local news, Dan.
I mean, but there's, like, okay, I get it if, like, Greenville, North Carolina just repeats it. But, like, cities where they actually have a budget, like, I'm looking at you, Memphis.
I don't know. The CBS station here did a report on Pizzagate. So, like,
but you have a notoriously insane local station in Atlanta.
Yeah, CBS in Atlanta is, like, known for, like, they're, like, I think in fourth or third place. It might even be behind, like, Univision now or something. So, like, most of their news stories are just, like, outrageous. Like, with the I-85 collapse recently here in Atlanta. Good. The conspiracies were flying on that station about what really caused it. So, that was a lot of fun. They may have hinted that MARTA caused the fire.
It was a false flag. Come on, man.
Yeah. Forget public transportation more popular. But yeah,
come on.
I don't mind when the news stations report dumb figures. They do it for the Super Bowl. Ain't that many people at the Super Bowl, y'all. Hate to tell you.
I mean, yeah.
Ain't that many people probably watch the Super Bowl.
I don't think this, well, okay, that's a big, that's one of the biggest lies, is they lie about how many people are watching it worldwide. Because they're counting, like, a lot of times they're, like, counting how many people have access to it in some of these other countries.
Yeah.
Like, their American viewership is usually pretty solid. But they'll be counting, like, how many people in Kyrgyzstan had access to it, and they'll just count everyone.
Well, clearly, if you're in Kyrgyzstan, you're like, well, I've got to watch the Super Bowl instead of eating my Kyrgyzstan pie.
Like, the NFL is desperate to pretend that they're a globally recognized sport, and they're not.
No, like, realistically, they're probably third. About American they're probably football. Fourth place for most American sports leagues, actually, worldwide. Because I'd imagine MLB, NBA, NHL are probably a little more popular.
Yeah, that might be true. You know what? They might be fifth. Because they're probably they're MLS? Definitely behind golf. They're behind golf worldwide.
Ooh. Yeah. Are they behind UFC worldwide?
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, from a week-to-week basis, I mean, they might be.
That might be one of our breakdown shows in the future. Let's, like, we could really explore the NFL's global popularity or something.
And lack thereof.
Yes. It might be something to pencil in for July during dead week.
So,
overall, WrestleMania, fun weekend. It's tons of stuff, and it's probably the one example of trickle-down economics being real. WrestleMania weekend.
That's one of the unsung things about why WrestleMania has become this huge phenomenon in the last 10-15 years is that so many cities completely wasted money putting all these building these dumb bullshit stadiums they didn't need, and they're desperate to recoup some of the money back that they've blown. So it makes sense to give WWE a little bit of money to come to town and actually put somebody in their stadium, because otherwise their stadium's going to sit empty.
Oh, and then you're talking, you're also generating tax revenue. Hotel taxes are usually how stadiums are paid for, so that helps with the revenue there. It's an event that really, it's turned into an event that the city really wants. It's at least a $100 million boom, usually economically.
And so, once WrestleMania became a stadium, once WrestleMania became a stadium show every year, every independent company, every other company in the world started booking WrestleMania weekend because there's all these wrestling fans in town. It changed.
Yeah.
It changed the dynamics for running a show, for running an indie promotion. It changed the
or even changed something like Wally Mania. Now you can even have clubs throw events.
Oh God! Every podcast, every fucking podcast does a special.
Dan? I think the WrestleMania attendance was the number of total podcasts that were represented at WrestleMania attendance.
Sure.
That's what it was. I'm sure there was about 2.1 podcasts per person there. So
I mean, easily. Easily.
Yeah. So but I think that's it for me. Not a super crazy sport. Oh, baseball started. I watched Bartolo Colon pitch last night, Dan. I'm in love. I'm gonna watch every game that man pitches.
Sure,
say that much.
I mean, he's an international treasure.
Yeah, one of God's gifts. So the anti fuck you this week. So hey, can I fuck you to Bartolo Colon?
Hey, can I fuck you? That gives me joy. Let me see. Fuck you of the week to Jim Cornette for shitting the bed in his Hall of Fame speech. It wasn't very exciting. I expected more, buddy. You built me up to really expect something. That wasn't. You didn't deliver. Done.
It wasn't all that great.
So I believe that does it. And if that's the end of the show, then that means there's only one thing left to do, and that is play the music, Jason.